Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And we want to bring back a relational form of life. That is, we want real people connecting with real people. We want real discipleship, where fathers and sons really connect. And there's more discipleship going on between fathers and sons and mothers and children. We think that this is important. It's an important value to restore relationships within the church, relationships within the family, and the large institutionalized form of everything that the government has brought into the present day, and the fact that seven times the people living alone, the fact that there are seven times more people living alone today than were back in 1900, I think is indicative of the loneliness of the day and the lack of relationship in the day. So we want to bring back relationships. Relationships are so crucial. And, of course, ultimately what that means is that we're loving one another and we're investing in one another and we're finding an environment in which love can best manifest itself. That's what we're talking about when we talk about relationships. Now, most people are about relationships. The problem is they're still stuck on their institutions. So it's hard sometimes to get them to understand that in order to have relationships, you can't just electronify everything. You can't just be communicating with each other through electronic bits. You can't just be putting each other in large institutions and engaging one on 100 at a time or one on 1,000 at a time. But you have to actually get to know people. You have to actually love each other. And in a discipleship-oriented society, I think you're going to find some real blessings. I think you're going to find that young men and young women are better discipled, and God blesses that over the generations. Well, today we want to talk about the elderly. And the elderly fit into this, I believe, very much so, because we are in a period of time in which the elderly are increasing in numbers. 80 million retiring baby boomers over the next 18 years. That's a lot of people. Now do remember that they're coming out of a generation where they aborted 80 million of their own babies, which means that it's going to be a tough go for the next 20 or 30 years when it comes to issues like euthanasia and the care of the elderly. And if we're seeing Social Security bust, if we're seeing government increase its control over medical care, seems to me that with the last 30 to 40 years of the depreciation of life in the minds and hearts of hundreds of millions of people around America, I think we're looking at euthanasia. I think we're looking at a very, very poor treatment of the elderly in the years to come. That should not be a Christian way. Christians adopt. Christians do not abort. Christians adopt those who would be aborted. Christians step in, and if there are elderly that are not treated well and are not being cared for well and are being euthanized, Christians will step in, and Christians will be the ones who will take care of the elderly, even if they are the non-productives. Remember, if the economy is going downhill, if Social Security is about to bust, the Nietzschean crowd, the ones who believe that might makes right, and the ones that believe, whether Republican or Democrat, believe that only the non-productives should survive, they will, I think, move the society more and more towards euthanasia. So this is why it's important for us right now to be dealing with the issue of elderly care. And we've brought in this thing before, but now we're going to try to lay out a plan for developing elderly care amongst families, developing another aspect of the family economy in the years to come. I'm very excited about this. This is one of the most exciting elements of family economics that I can think of. Again, we're just trying to think out of the box here. We're trying to find ways in which we can maximize relational living, maximize family economies, and move more and more in the direction of healthy Christian societies in the years to come. So let's figure out how to do this. And I want to call people together to my house in November of this year, and we need to launch a Christian home-based relational senior care program. And with me to discuss this is Todd Strasser. Todd has a tremendous heart for this, and he and I have talked about this off and on for the last couple of months, and he's done a lot of research, and I appreciate the heart that he has for this issue. And Todd, you are a homeschool father, and so you understand something of the relational life. Todd, where did you get the interest here? I mean, you've been somewhat involved in medical care in the past. Why the interest in relational elderly care?
Well, actually, I'll started. I have, as you said, I'm a homeschool father. I have six little ones,
yeah,
all 10 and down. So we actually started, just wanted an opportunity for the family to serve, serve. And I said, wow, what can we do? We can't, it's hard for us to go and mow someone's lawn or go babysit someone. How can we serve? And I said, well, maybe we can go and talk to people.
Okay.
So we started visiting some of the elderly homes, care homes. And you know, it was that opportunity. It provided that. And, you know, two things. So we've done that for years. We've taken all the little ones, and it's been great. You know, they play their violins or just talk to the people and listen.
Okay.
It's been good. But two things I really noticed out of that. The first thing was, like, wow, this is good for my children. You know, they're learning how to serve and how to talk and how to listen and learn a little bit about, you know, sort of a demographic of people, older, elderly, that they're not always around.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes not always in our churches. Churches are different. And but the second thing I noticed was that, wow, these folks, we need to take better care of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's an opportunity here to kind of perhaps take them from what is sort of a, many times, institutionalized kind of place, some of these care facilities.
Yes.
It's fairly impersonal.
Mm-hmm.
Often they're sometimes dropped off by their children there. And we need, is there an opportunity where we can provide them a more home sort of life?
Todd, I'm trying to think back into history. Again, it's good to draw history into these things. Have there ever been times in history in which all the elderly were carted off into institutions and boxes and separated away from the rest of society? You know, can you think of that in Scripture? Where the elderly were not part of the same churches as the Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z generations? Where they really had very little contact with, you know, 45-year-olds, 35-year-olds, 25-year-olds, 15-year-olds, and 5-year-olds. Can you think of a time in history in which that's happened?
No.
I can't either. I can't either. So this is not healthy. I think just gut feel. This is not healthy. We need to integrate the elderly into our communities. And, of course, we encourage families to take care of their grandparents in their old age. And we've done another number of programs on that. And we hope to do another one, a really neat one, coming up here in just a little bit. Elizabeth Hugo has written a really neat book on caring for her aging and dying father. And he was blind and he had a lot of other issues. But it's a tender, beautiful book written by Elizabeth Hugo. And we're going to get back to that in a few weeks. But for right now, we need to bring back this vision. We need to integrate these elderly back into our church congregations, mm-hmm. don't mm-hmm. we?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to see that. And that's one of the purposes is not only we're noticing in a lot of the care facilities we go to is a good opportunity to visit, but what we're noticing is they're missing a lot of the aspects of a family life. In fact, some of them would go to churches, or sometimes there's churches in the care facilities, but they're missing a lot of the aspect of sort of daily discipleship or interaction with family members.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an idea that we thought, well, maybe we can perhaps take a step towards bringing them to that.
Yes, yes. Do you see that the elderly are missing that integration with their own grandkids? You know, to a great extent.
Definitely.
Do you think that's happening?
Definitely. Yeah, mm-hmm. they're definitely missing that. And that, you know, it's one of the things that brings such joy. I think that, you know, when we would go, or when we ever visit the elderly, there's such joy, even across generations, right? Because mm-hmm. when you're kind of slotted with the same generation day in, day out, there's one aspect to that. But when there's the family of multi-generations, I think that's what God intended. There's such joy to see that, the differences.
Todd, what do you think gets in the way of conversations with elderly? Is it an impatience? Is it a not willingness to sit there and listen for a long time? They talk too slow, you know, et cetera. What is it that seems to be a block in the communication of the older generation with the youngers?
Well, there has to be the heart desire to love one another.
Yeah.
And I think that was our family's desire to learn to love.
Yeah.
And there's also, we have to understand the aspect of why God's given us these different generations and how he has us to interact. I think the difficulty that often we see in society is because it's maybe a relational problem. I can't relate. You know, can't relate in different values to different things. But we need to relate together as the body of Christ. We need to be able to relate on the promises of God. And those are always coming true.
Todd, one of the things that I would love to see, and I know this is part of your heart too, is more and more Christians Christian families, especially homeschooling families, but perhaps other families, any family that wants to engage in a family economy, not just for the bucks. And I don't think it's the bucks that needs to drive this. It needs to be the care. It needs to be the family ministry. It needs to be the, we need to do a project together, and God is calling our family uniquely to this project, to this ministry. And that ministry is for a Christian family. Imagine this, a Christian family. Imagine tens of thousands of Christian families. Over the next 18 years, with 80 million retiring baby boomers, taking on this challenge to invite one, two, or maybe three or four elderly people into their homes. Now, there are laws relating to this. We're going to get into that in just a moment. But what a vision. What a great opportunity. Now, it may take away from the homeschooling a bit. You might have to do some life integration. You might actually have to get up and do stuff instead of hitting the books for 80 to 90% of your waking hours. You might just have to train your children to be practical, life-integrated children who grow up and they know how to run a household and they know how to care for elderly and they know how to do a lot of things because they did more than sit around and factor trinomials all day long.
Right. And I know, you know, one aspect of this that really kind of appealed to our family when we started to sort of put this into motion in our mind was hospitality. You know, like you, Kevin, we like to do hospitality and serve the body through that. And really, this is essentially an extension of that, you know, in terms of being able to care for someone. Okay, we make meals already. We clean. We do laundry. We do these things already. And why can't we extend what we kind of already have in terms of God's economy, how this is quite efficient, in fact.
It's hospitality on steroids.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a lot of hospitality.
Right.
And again, it may not be for every family,
right,
but,
definitely.
You know, it's just we live in such a comfortable age where everything's about our own, filling our own desires and establishing our own conveniences. And we're not really, love isn't giving up itself as much as I would like to see it giving up itself. And there is such joy in the sacrifice. Jesus Christ, of course, is our example. And we are called to lay down our lives for our brothers, 1 John. So it seems to me that this could be a wonderful ministry. I mean, you know, you don't have to take your family to Zimbabwe, the mission field,
right,
to serve Jesus. You could serve Jesus right in your home and be discipling your children in your home at the very same time. I mean, this seems to be a perfect solution to a lot of problems as families set out to establish a vision for their own.
Yeah, I mean, and there is a lot of opportunity, right? Like you said, in your very home, because when you walk into a place where there's a, you know, senior care facility, I mean, you're looking around saying, "Wow, what there's these folks? There's an opportunity here to serve these people, to love these people, and really grow your own family as well, because our family is here to serve the body of Christ. So how can we, you know, how can we integrate here?" And I think it's also, I think that this is going to be an opportunity for growth of the family, like you said, through service. I mean, there's been times when we've talked to, you know, thousands of elderly over the years as we've done this. But, you know, I remember one, she was a young lady of 13, 14 in World War II. And, you know, she's telling my children how, you know, every man went off to war, but she had to stay back and play the piano in church. It was her and the pastor and all the moms and kids left. But wow, my children got to go, wow, that, you know, that was a time of sacrifice. And they started to understand. I mean, there's almost as much benefit for the family here as for the elderly.
Yes, it's beautiful. And friends, if you have not caught the vision yet, shame on you. Todd, I have been trying to get people interested in this idea for the last year or two. And I know there have been people emailing me saying, yes, I'm on board. It's a great concept. But there's not too many people doing it yet. And I would love to see people come forward and saying, yes, it's being done. It's being done well. We're taking care of relatives. We're taking care of grandparents. We're taking care of friends, people in the church who have moved into our back two bedrooms. I would love to hear examples. I want hundreds of examples. Please email me. I beg you now. Email me at kevinpswanson@gmail.com or host@generationswithvision.com. Email me. Email me and tell me that there are people doing this, and we want to establish our first conference. little seminar in my basement, okay, on this. I don't care where you come from around the nation. We're going to do this in November. And we're going to draw together people who have a heart for the elderly. And we don't know of any conference where this is being discussed. But we think that this is a great idea. And we want to bring these things out on November 16th, 2013. That's a Saturday, November. Let me check this one more time because I just came up with the date. That's right. November 16th, 2013, in my basement, Elizabeth, Colorado. Anybody's got a heart for the care for elderly. And you want relational care and family economies want to open up their own homes to engage this very worthy ministry. Then email me at kevinpswanson@gmail.com or host@kevinswanson.com and let's talk about coming together on November 16, 2013. Please understand, I probably have three people in the entire United States that are interested in this concept, as far as I know. And so I just need a few more than that, and we're going to kick off a Christian home-based relational senior care program, and we're going to talk about that more in just a moment. My name is Kevin Swanson. Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. Today we're talking about something that's near and dear to my heart, care for the elderly. And, you know, we don't have that many elderly in our church. Todd, you're a member of our
right.
church. We don't have that many elderly in our right. church. There are two or three, and they are precious, precious people.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that every single person in our church gets to know every single elderly person that attends our church. I hope. The moments I spend with John, you know who John is, are precious. The man is a wonderful man. He's incredible. He's such an encouragement. I mean, he's got faith. He's got courage. He's got love. He's got a great testimony. He's got great relationships with his son and his son's family. I mean, it's just, you know, God give us 100 of these.
More of that, right?
Yeah, exactly. You feel the same way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
It's just, I think we're missing out on something.
Definitely. Yeah, one of the things that we realize is that while at church, often a lot of church families being hospitable, meeting other families, good. My children being homeschooled, learning to interact with different ages and things like that. But that is one of the missing components that I always want to fill their life a little bit more with is the elderly. Such wisdom there through the years that it's sort of like untapped.
Yes, yes. And wisdom is not just a bunch of knowledge, not a bunch of facts that come from a university professor who's just shoving facts into a person's mind. Wisdom has to do with living life successfully. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who know differential calculus and integral calculus, and they know differential equations, and they know their math. But they can't get their pants on straight in the morning.
Right.
They have no good relationship with their family. They've lost 27 jobs in their lives, and they're living on welfare, okay? Those people are out there. There's a lot of them. You can have knowledge without wisdom. And I think not having the wisdom of the gray hairs in our churches is to our detriment. Okay, but let's get back to the home-based relational senior care ideas. Now, let's talk a little about the legal environment. I know you have investigated this. We very much appreciate our legislator, Senator Kevin Lundberg, who really has been following the senior care laws for a long time. And he really is caring about this. This is a big deal for him. He really cares. And this is what happens with godly Christian leaders. Kevin Lundberg cares about little babies aborted in their mother's wombs. He cares for those without a vote. As it turns out, the seniors have a vote, but in many ways they're disadvantaged because oftentimes they're segregated from the rest of society and they suffer from things like dementia and other things, and they can be easily taken care advantage of by the system. So we appreciate the fact that Senator Kevin Lundberg has taken a special interest in this, and you have talked a little bit about the legal situation with him. But give us a sense for it. Now, I know you focused on Colorado, and there are 50 states with 50 systems of laws. But my guess is Colorado is somewhere in the mix.
Right. And it surely does vary state to state, but Colorado, it seems to be, I did a little bit of research across the nation. It seems that Colorado's going to be pretty similar to the rest of the country. And, you know, what we found in terms of the legal aspect of this is there is really an aspect of life. And we're trying to take care of those the later years of life and love them in this regard. But there is a freedom to be able to care for up to three individuals in our homes, really without without any kind of institutionalized or commercial regulation. And also, the other opportunities is basically that we can have flexibility therein to use the family to provide a lot of the care and needs. There's sort of a line, you know, crossed when you kind of have to provide medical care. And that's probably not the type of work we want as well either. We want to care for kind of the support services of the elderly. But the other opportunity there is home health care, and we can leverage those services if need to.
Sure.
So if some, you know, if you have someone that needs medical care in your home, you can leverage home health care.
Yes. Good point.
So that's a possibility.
And food preparation is something that you can do, right?
Definitely,
you can do that in your own home.
Yes, and that was really exciting to research and learn a little bit about that, using some of the aspects of the laws provided in terms of bed, like bed and breakfast or private boarding homes. Mm-hmm. It'd be very similar to that kind of situation. Basically, if you're providing that care for someone in your private home, you're able to do that.
Okay, and it looks to me like the food has got to be included in a single rate that covers both room and board.
Right, and that's really the only aspect that's different there.
Okay, so it is possible legally to do this.
Okay.
Now, there are laws governing it, too.
There are.
And you should be aware of these laws.
There are. And
laws relating to abuse.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. There, and I think that's a good thing. You know, we want to protect life. And
sure.
We want to care for these elderly at all levels, but there are aspects, and really in terms of a private home, it appears that when you kind of cross the boundary, might be giving medical care,
right.
And that's something that we're going to want to bring, you know, some professionals
sure.
in for anyway.
Right. So a family that considers this kind of thing needs to be aware of the fact that they need to provide that full-time care, at least
right.
at some level, whether it be food or, you know, cleaning up or laundry or what have you, they need to be there to do it. And if a family was, say, to take a vacation, they would have to find somebody else to do the care.
Right. And that's one of the important aspects of this to be determined a little bit as we start to grow this, is it's really going to depend on the person and the level of care they need. And so there's probably a balance in terms of the level of care that can be provided, and also if 24/7 care is needed. And then, of course, the other aspect of that is, how much can this person integrate into family life?
Right.
And how can that be done?
And I think that's important for most Christian families.
Right.
They really would like some integration.
Right. Definitely.
And that should be spelled out from the beginning. Mm-hmm. They should say, this is what we expect. You know, we will fix the meals. We would like, you know, our family to come down and we'll read the Bible once
right.
a day at
right.
6 o'clock. And you know, you can have an opportunity to interact if you want. But this is what we do. And our children will play some music. And this is the kind of thing that we do in our home. Also, some families may choose to incorporate the elderly into their churches, which is another aspect that I think is important, as I've already said. So now, that may not be true for every situation. I'm just saying there may be families who want to incorporate the elderly that they're caring for into their churches. And so they should spell that out from the beginning. The other thing that I think we need to remember is that it's possible that the Social Security and such that could provide for some income to these families may very well not be there mm-hmm. in 10 years mm-hmm. or 15 years from now.
Right.
And so the church should be fully willing to step up and provide the income necessary. I'm thinking of 1 Timothy chapter 5. It is the church's obligation to care for those widows, 60 years old and older, who wash the saints' feet, which means that they're serving in the congregation. They're, you know, they are regularly serving, participating members in a congregation, you know, and the church has a responsibility. So this, to me, is a beautiful example of how we can tie in family economies, church provision for the elderly, and a relational environment for the elderly in the years to come. And Todd, you know, at this point, we are such a secularized society. We've seen a breakdown of relationships. We see euthanasia coming down like a freight train. We see the loneliness of these seniors. And I'm thinking, we need to change this. We need to do something different. That's your passion, too. Where did you get it? Just by running out and visiting with these folks, I suppose.
That's yes, we did, definitely, for the most part. And also, we realized that, you know, there was an aspect here when we visited that there's an opportunity to care for these people, to serve these people, to love them. They're at a point in life where they're quite vulnerable. Many of the assisted living facilities we visit are often quite scheduled. You're going to eat at this time. You're going to wake up at this time. Why not be able to provide that really relational care? And that's what we're shooting for. You wake up when you want to. You have breakfast when you want to. The family's here to serve you in that capacity. And the other aspect is really the cost.
Yeah.
A lot of these assisted living, some of them are very good, but some of them are very, it's just simply profit driven.
Okay.
And I think there's an opportunity here that for families to do this at an extraordinary lower cost than some of these elderlies are paying, but also to provide for the family that are providing the services too.
Okay, folks, we cannot deal with every part of this thing on one 28-minute program, but we are going to draw folks together on November 16th of 2013 to talk about relational Christian senior care, especially the home-based form of it. And if you are interested in this, friends, email me at kevinpswanson@gmail.com or host@kevinswanson.com, and let's talk about it. By the way, you can also email Todd at toddls@hotmail.com. That's toddls@hotmail.com. Todd, I really hope that we can stir up something across the nation. I mean, granted, this program only reaches, 15,000 people across the United States. So not very many people. But I'm hoping that they have friends or they have somebody they could forward this program to and say, yeah, that's my vision. I really want to serve in that way. And they're looking ahead and they're saying, well, maybe not this year, but maybe 3 years from now or 5 years from now. And they'll come out and they'll learn about these things and we'll develop something of a nationwide network of home-based, Christian-oriented, family-oriented, relational senior care. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. And if you would like to interact with the program or you're very interested in what we've been talking about today or you have something to add to the conversation, again, the email address is host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.